I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording from the home bunker. Folks, applause, applause, pat yourselves on the back, give yourselves a big, big, big hug. We have made it to yet the end of another hellish week in this crumbling democracy. If you're watching this video and I seem a bit stiff, I have hurt my neck and my shoulders, and I'm trying not to really move because every direction that I move, I'm in excruciating pain. Nonetheless, I want to start off this Fuck It Friday with the breaking news that happened as I was getting ready to record this episode for all of you. And it is the death of O.J. Simpson at the age of 76 from prostate cancer. Now, O.J. Simpson, I mean, wow. You know, like, wow, quite the life, if you will. I think that O.J. Simpson, his trial, I think, is the most watched trial that we'd ever had in this country. It gave you, as my co-host on Democracy-ish posted on Twitter, it gave you like everything that America loves the most. Violence, racism, celebrity, drama, lawyers became household names. Johnny Cochran, you know, if it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. The whole glove, like, ah, they're tight, so I couldn't possibly have murdered my wife and her friend. You know, you got the Kardashian, Robert Kardashian, was the one of his many attorneys. You know, it gave you all of the things that people tune into soapy television shows for, except, you know, it was reality. And the reality was that a woman who had been married to a man who had been abusing her, physically abusing her, emotionally abusing her, was charged in a gruesome double homicide. And there were children that were involved, right? And, you know, this trial was probably, it was one of the most watched for so many reasons, all of which I have named, but race and racism and the LAPD played a huge role. The funny thing is that before that trial, right, like, O.J. Simpson, celebrated football player, turned actor, turned, you know, endorsement king, like all of these things, had never really had any significant role, if you will, inside of the Black community. Like, he didn't really fuck with Black people. Let's just, like, be clear about that. But when you throw in the justice system and Black people together, what you want to see as a Black person in America is a fair trial, which we never see, right? Particularly when the person who, if it's a murder trial, has been murdered is a white woman, right? So the fact that OJ at that time was acquitted, but then found guilty in a civil trial, right? Just, I can remember how much the country was divided on racial lines about it, right? And the fact is, I mean, do we think he didn't kill her, right? Like, you know, so there were so many feelings and issues that were involved with that. Following his acquittal, you know, in the early 2000s, he would end up in jail anyway because of robbery, right? And trying to rob, I think it was his own memorabilia, you know, back. And so finally, he would actually end up in prison. And, you know, for after that, his entire legacy and life and character was ruined. He did it, right? Like, and so, you know, when the announcement of his death came, it was like, man, that was really a time in media, in sports, in just how criminals are charged. Like, it was just a wild time in America. And the funny thing is that the announcement of his death comes on the backdrop of, you know, another historic case that is supposed to go into jury selection on Monday, which is Donald Trump's hush money bribery case, where it is being alleged on 34 counts of fraud in terms of his business practices that he used campaign resources to pay off porn star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about the extramarital affair that happened while his wife was either giving birth or pregnant with their child. And, you know, this is like, it's extraordinary, right? Like the times that we have lived through in terms of OJ and are living through with regard to Donald Trump. But America's fascination with wealth, celebrity, just like tawdry sex and all of these things is still ever present, if not more so, in the times that we are living in now than they were in the 90s. Like, imagine somebody had posted and said, like, we will now know, you know, if you're on social media as folks are, you know, are sharing the news of OJ's death, what it would have been like to have, you know, a Twitter platform in 1995, right? Which would have been fucking wild. But we do know what that's like because Trump is about to go into jury selection. He has had now three different attempts by his lawyers to do what they do best, which is to delay. The appeals court and the judge in this case have said, nah, we're moving this trial along and it will begin with jury selection on Monday. Now, folks, I'm not holding my breath. I really am not, because Donald Trump is a fucking sleazeball. He is a grifter. He is a criminal. And somehow the justice system always works on his side. So if we actually make it to this trial, I'll be shocked, right? But if there is a Hail Mary that the Supreme Court decides to take up, even though this is a state case, but to stick their nose because opening arguments for the immunity case, right, that they could have heard months ago will now take place on April 25th, they may decide to say, oh, no, 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 you need to halt this trial until we do our slow walk in mid-April. So, you know, folks, anything can happen. That's what we have seen and have been privy to over the last several years of all of Donald Trump's fuckery, shenanigans, and the like. The role that the media, I think that the biggest story for me with the announcement of the death of O.J. Simpson is the role that the media played and the important role that the media continues to play in who they decide to make the hero or the villain, right? In how they decide to cover certain stories. And if you have any modicum of wealth or celebrity, you will be handled with kid gloves. If you are white, even more so. The thing is that OJ realized that he was black when he was arrested, right? And one of the reasons, right, that we learn that he ends up also getting acquitted is because the LAPD was notoriously so fucking racist, right? So even if, and I say that tongue in cheek, he killed her, they just walked, you know, open up the door to there being a mistrial to him, you know, not a mistrial, but him being found not guilty because of their own incessant racism, right? And so it's just like it goes to show you that nothing ever changes. What is old is always new again, because America refuses to address the consistent elephant that's in the room, which is racism in America, how we talk about it, how we don't talk about it, how it proliferates our justice system and our government and so on and so forth, and the narratives that are spun around it.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Which brings me to my next story, which is a video I posted this week following Donald Trump's appearance at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, where he bought 30 milkshakes and they were passed out to the customers that were already at this Chick-fil-A. And there are pictures of, you know, a bunch of Black people wanting to take selfies and smiling and grinning. And I did a video about it. Because, you know, a friend of mine had sent it to me before I saw the story break and was just like, Danielle, what do you make of this? This is crazy because this falls in line with the other stories that the media is perpetuating around Donald Trump being able to peel off Black male voters and Latino male voters and bring them over to his side because of, you know, them being enamored with wealth and with celebrity and the proximity to white supremacy. And what I said in my video, and I stand by it, even though folks are like, Danielle, those people were at work and like blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I know that they were. So, because I'm not talking about the people that were just behind the counter that were grinning and smiling at Donald Trump. I'm talking about the people that were actually in the restaurant, the patrons that were running up and wanting pictures with this fucking white supremacist criminal. Not everybody wants to be free. Okay, that is what I posted in my video. Not everybody wants to be free. Not everybody wants to get free. Right? That when Harriet Tubman was making her treacherous journey to and from the South to free enslaved Black people, many did not want to go with her. Right? Because they were terrified and would rather just stay with the devil that they knew than run the risk of going towards freedom, right? Not knowing what that freedom would look like. And so there have always been actors inside of history, Black actors inside of history, that when they found or heard news of there being a potential revolt, right, on these plantations, on these torture factories, right, that they would tell their masters, right, in exchange for their freedom, for the murder and killing of those that were daring to assert their humanity and fight for their freedom. So what I say is that not everybody wants to get free, and there will always be Black people that are the biggest supporters of white supremacy and will secure their own freedom, right? And I use quotation marks, by their proximity to whiteness. They will be fine with being the pet of the master, right? Looking at you, Byron, you know, looking at you, Tim Scott, you know, looking at you, Candace Owens. Looking at, you know, a whole bunch of folks that are totally happy carrying the water, being the mascot, the Black face for white supremacy. Because of whatever they're being promised on the other side. Now, during slavery, they would be promised their freedom. So fuck everybody else. Right? Who they would be leaving behind so long as they got theirs. That mentality is still extremely prevalent. So, you know, when I saw those images, I was disgusted. You know, as anyone would be. Do I tell you to lose your job over it? No, but I sure as fuck wouldn't have been standing there smiling. And if I was a customer, I sure as fuck wouldn't have been running up to Donald Trump for a fucking selfie. But needless to say, I have never been a customer at Chick-fil-A because of their homophobia and funding of anti-LGBTQ legislation and their fucking bullshit religious stances. So miss me with that fucking, you know, fried chicken bullshit, their fried hatred. Never been in my mouth and never will be. But, you know, I have morals. So, you know, what we know is that everything that Donald Trump does is a grift and is a lie. And in this case, let me just remind the Black and brown listeners of this show specifically that Donald Trump hates you. He hates us. He thinks so very little of Black people. Remember, we don't come from those quote unquote nice countries like Denmark, right? That he wanted to ban Muslims from this country and did, right? That he put Latinx people in cages, that he said that Black people come from shithole countries, right? That he took out a full page ad to call for the execution of Black children who would later be exonerated decades later and never came forth with an apology, but continued the same lie about the exonerated five, right? In New York City. The man who used his power and his influence to deny Black and brown people housing from his properties and was sued for it, right? This motherfucker been a racist. He's been a misogynist. So for anyone to be running to Donald Trump, particularly people of color, and smiling in his face and begging for a photo makes me fucking sick.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to end today with a story that is absolutely disgusting and deserves mainstream coverage. But because of the barrage of bad news, the allowance of an 1864 piece of legislation that would give a total ban on abortion that the House Republicans in Arizona have decided to resurrect, that's not what I'm talking about. But you get my point, is that there's just so much bad news. It's hard to keep up, but it is my job to make you woke to particularly draconian, disgusting, and dangerous pieces of legislation that I believe will cause a domino effect. What am I talking about? Oh, the state of Tennessee. And you're thinking to yourself, what have they done now, Danielle? Oh, so much. Let me tell you. So, on Monday, Tennessee, according to thehill.com, passed a bill that will allow potential parents who hold anti-LGBTQ beliefs to adopt and foster LGBTQ children. Let me say that again. The state of Tennessee has now passed a bill that would prohibit the Department of Children's Services from requiring that prospective or current adoptive and foster parents to agree with government policy regarding sexual orientation or gender identity that, quote unquote, conflicts with their own beliefs. Layman's terms, Tennessee has just passed anti-LGBTQ legislation that would legalize child abuse. Because why else would a person who holds anti-LGBTQ views adopt a queer child? What would be the point of that? Other than to what? Pray the gay away? Beat the gay away? Shock the gay away? Starve the gay away? What would be your role, do you think? Because these type of people who would choose to knowingly adopt a child that doesn't have any rights, because children, until they reach the age of 18, have no rights in this country. There is no children bill of rights to recognize their humanity. You are essentially property, right? And so the fact that Tennessee would go so far in their hatred of LGBTQ people to pass legislation that would allow hateful prospective parents to be the guardians of children that need the most care because of their high suicide ideation rates, high rates of homelessness. Why? Because when children still come out in this day and age, they are kicked out of their home, right? More likely to become addicted to drugs and alcohol, right? That these children would then be placed under the care of people who hate them? This makes sense? This feels good to the people in Tennessee? It's fucking sick, is what it is. Just imagine that somebody who is a white nationalist now would get the green light to adopt black or brown children. You would say, oh my God, that would never happen. That should never happen. Tell me what the difference is here. Because you know that now that Tennessee has enacted this, Florida, Texas, Alabama, the rest of them will say, ooh, wait, this seems good. Let us continue on our crusade to target, to abuse, and to try and erase and eradicate LGBTQ people from our state and from this country. Understand, folks, that this is the shit that Republicans are testing out in their little Southern hateful draconian petri dishes that they will nationalize if Donald Trump becomes president again. Stay woke, my friends. Stay fucking woke. Because it is shit like this that is getting lost under the radar, because what the Republicans are doing is what Steve Bannon told them to do. Flood the zone. Right? Flood the zone. Go village by village, city by city, with your destructive, anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-black, anti-immigrant, anti-woman, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic policies, and we won't be able to keep track, right? Because there's so much coming at us on any given day that bills like this slide under the radar. Well, it's on my fucking radar. And when it's on my radar, I put it on y'all's radar. because this is not the last that we will hear. In this election, my dear friends, the Republicans are coming for everything. It's why you have so much anxiety. It's why we are all on edge. It's why, you know, I tell you to take breaks so that you don't have breakdowns, that you don't need to be in every news cycle all day, every day, because it's not good for your mental health. Because right now, they are winning every single battle that they are waging. Because Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump stacked the courts so that they could run a fucking muck. The only thing that is standing between us and the nationalizing of Christo fascism is our vote. And for those that are continue to say that they can't stomach voting for Joe Biden, can you stomach living inside of an authoritarian regime? Can you stomach it when your passport is basically toilet paper and you're not allowed to leave? Can you stomach it when your bosses are now able to abuse you because they've done away with the last remnants of workers' protections and rights, when there is no recourse? You can go ahead and you can protest and watch it turn into Tiananmen Square, where the government rolled out tanks and killed their own people to send a message. That's what Donald Trump wanted to do at Lafayette Square when he said, can't we just shoot them in the leg or something? And General Milley said, no, that's against the law. Well, there will be no General Milley's in the new Trump administration. There will only be people that sit around and say, yeah, boss, whatever you want, boss. Funded and backed by Project 2025. If that doesn't scare the shit out of you, I don't know what will. That is it for me today, dear friends, on this Fuck It Friday. I hope that you get rest, peace, joy, outside time, connection with friends and families and pets and plants, because we need each and every person to be 150% for the next several months, because it's going to be long and tiresome. As always, my friends, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.